You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the government announced their second climate target in accordance with the Paris Agreement. The target outlines how much emissions need to be cut by 2035. The government has chosen a target of getting emissions down by 51 to 55% compared to 2005 levels. This is only 1% higher than their previous target. The announcement has been stated as unambitious, particularly in relation to comparable nations as well as developing nations. However, the proposed climate policies from the government, many of which aren't even in place yet, Aotearoa isn't forecasted to reach this goal. On Friday, producer Evie spoke to Massey University's Professor of Sustainable Energy and Climate Mitigation, Ralph Sims, about the target and how realistic it really is.
The main goal in this target is that our emissions are going to be 51 to 55% lower in 2035 than they were in 2005. Just to give our listeners a little bit of context, how much have our emissions already come down since 2005?
Well, that was the peak time. That was the year that they were their highest, and they were about 86 million tonnes that year of total greenhouse gases when you add them together. And they've just come down slightly since then, maybe down to 80 million tonnes, nothing significant. It's not strongly bent the curve downwards yet, but we're starting to move in the right direction.
So we've only moved downwards a little bit in the past 20 years, but in the next 10 years, the government wants this 51 to 55% drop. Do you think that's an achievable target?
Well, it's a very unambitious target. This is under the, just to clarify, under the National Determined Contribution of the Paris Climate Agreement, and we signed up to that as well as 197 other countries. The United States might pull out, but regardless of that, we are committed to an international reduction because we realise that greenhouse gases are causing climate change, and this is causing all sorts of impacts around the world. So we've said we're going to reduce, and under that agreement we've said we're going to be more ambitious in our second National Determined Contribution. So the first National Determined Contribution was 50% by 2030, and now we're saying we're going to make 51% by 2035. So it's and maybe up to 55%. And that's looking internationally, we'll be a bit of a laughing stock just to be able to say we can do 1% better in that period than what we're aiming to do already. Given that the Climate Change Commission recommended to government that we should reduce by 66% in this second target, and 51 to 55% is a long, long way from there. And other countries are, everybody measures their emissions differently. It's a voluntary contribution, but other countries are doing, UK's doing 81% and Brazil's doing 64% and I've forgotten who else. So we're dragging the chain.
You say these targets are unambitious, and you're right that other countries are doing a lot more, but with the current climate policies from this government, they aren't projected to actually meet the target. So how do you think they're going to do it?
Well, the problem there, we've got an emissions reduction plan, which came out last year. And that's what we're hoping to achieve in order to reduce these emissions from various sectors. Transport might be a little bit, agriculture might be a little bit, and the problem there is that it's relying on technologies that are in the process of being developed and commercialized, like capturing carbon dioxide from, say, a geothermal field instead of letting it emit into the air, which is what happens now, and burying it underground. And that's a technology that's not proven at all in New Zealand. The other side of that is the agricultural emissions from our sheep and cattle and deer, trying to reduce those emissions by breeding animals or by injecting or by changing the genetic modification of the gut bacteria that produce the methane. And none of this is proven. It takes a lot of time. And so we're relying on, for our emission reduction plan to meet those targets, we're relying on technologies that aren't currently commercially viable or available.
So say these technologies don't pan out in the way that the government expects them to, do you think it's still going to be an achievable target to meet?
No, that's the big problem. You can't. Research and development takes a long time, and it's not always successful. In fact, most research isn't successful, and so you've got to keep trying. And we've got to do this as if there's a sort of war footing on, and we've got to make changes in the next few years, and we've got to throw money at it in order to make sure that we can make some of these technologies viable. But the problem there is, of course, we've cut the science budget and we've changed the science sectors, and some climate change folk are losing their jobs who have been looking, some government officials and researchers. And instead of sort of throwing money at it to try and resolve the problem, we're doing the opposite. And so, this current government doesn't seem to understand how crucial reducing these emissions is, because we know that we're getting more wildfires, more droughts, more floods, not just in New Zealand but elsewhere, as a direct result of climate change. And that's only going to get worse over the next few years.
There has been a lot of vocal backlash against this government's climate policies already, obviously. So has the government actually introduced any policy that's in action right now that you think is going to help us achieve this goal?
Well, they've talked about a few, but most of the policies that have been brought into place over the last 12 months, or many of them, are actually increasing climate change emissions. For example, just recently they're increasing the road speed back from 80 kilometres an hour in some places to 100 kilometres an hour in order to save 1 or 2 or 3 minutes of time. Then if you drive a car cruising along at 80 kilometres an hour, you use a lot less petrol or diesel than if you are travelling at 100 kilometres an hour. And so not only do you reduce your emissions for that journey, you also save money. And how people drive their car can also, locally as well as on highways, can make a difference to cost and reduce emissions. So that's a sort of behavioural component of helping people save money by giving advice and also getting some emission reductions, lower carbon footprints at the same time. Also, there's not as much support now as there was for cycleways. I cycle all over Palmerston North, and it's got better over the last few years, but some cycleways have now been abandoned as a result of government policy, no funding to support them. Public transport isn't as well supported, and that gets people out of their cars and makes a more convenient journey, as well as reducing cost and convenience. People tend to forget that if you drive a car a kilometre of sort of family saloon, 1, 2, 3 years old, it costs maybe 50, 60 cents a kilometre. So if you go and get your Sunday paper and drive into the dairy or supermarket, and that's maybe $4 or $5, it's not just the fuel, it's the cost of ownership of the car. And so therefore these other transport modes are much cheaper and reduce emissions as well. In terms of industry, there was a decarbonisation of industry scheme from the last government, which was very successful in terms of encouraging industry and schools, etc., to get away from coal-fired heat. And that's got repealed, so that's no longer in process. And so really the policies that we've got in place have gone the opposite way, never mind looking for more oil and gas, and never mind Shane Jones' New Zealand First announcements on looking for more coal mines this morning and other mining industries, and also telling the banks that they mustn't ban supporting or financing companies that are involved with fossil fuels, whereas the rest of the world is saying, look, we got to get out of fossil fuels. We got to discourage their use. We got to take away the subsidies. And therefore, the quicker we do it, the better. And there seems to be an inverse policy process going on in New Zealand, which is the antithesis of what we should be doing if we really want to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. There's some good things that government is talking about, more renewable energy, that's renewable electricity and renewable heat, they're quoting the Huntly Power Station. Genesis Energy is planning to move away from coal to bioenergy.
That was Massey University's Professor of Sustainable Energy and Climate Mitigation, Ralph Sims, on the government's second climate target.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.